Good afternoon. This is Randy Fox, and I am with Tim Rodenbusch, the head of a firm called Air Search. And Tim and I are going to talk today about what his company does, which is to find missing heirs generally, and how that might be useful knowledge and how they approach the business differently than other folks. So, Tim, thanks for being here.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, Randy.
So Air Search is in a very unique niche area of estate planning. Most of our readers probably have a general idea what's involved, but can you just give a broad overview of what the genealogical search industry is and what you do every day?
I'd be glad to do that, Randy. AirSearch.com is a division of International Genealogical Search, Inc., a corporation that for many generations, some 45 or longer than that now, nearly 50 years, has been providing professional search services to probate attorneys and trust companies, primarily through the United States and Canada, but as well around the world, locating missing heirs and beneficiaries, usually in intestate matters or in trust matters where the need to find beneficiaries exist. We're called upon by the probate attorneys and the trust officers when their own internal resources fail to establish who the rightful heirs are, the location of the beneficiaries.
No, you go ahead.
Yeah, it's a type of detective work in a way, though genealogical is the nature of the work. Typically, our firm wouldn't be going back more than perhaps 100 years at the maximum, to bring forward the family members who would be the rightful heirs or beneficiaries today. Whereas in genealogy, as I'm sure your listeners would be aware, particularly those who are the hobbyists who enjoy that work in genealogy, you could go back hundreds of years, and in fact, I suppose theoretically, 1,000 years. In the air search business, typically it isn't necessary to do that because you may go back to the grandparents of a deceased person and move that information forward, but you certainly wouldn't be going back to great-grandparents or great-great-grandparents, etc.
Sure. And so once you do that, how do you find the missing heirs? What process do you go through to track them down?
Well, we would begin with the view that we are going to need to document all of the information that is available, both public and private. The public records being through census records, birth records, death records, marriage records, and the like, so that we would piece together evidence that would exist on a public record level and through other resources and interviews with individuals in locations where family members have lived. We would put private records together as well. An example of a private record would be a R.L. Polk city directory, which your listeners may be, some of the older listeners, such as myself, would be familiar with. For more than 100 years from past, there were, throughout the United States and Canada, city directories published annually or every second year that would canvas communities and publish who was the head of a household, how many people lived there, not really like a census, not in that detail, but they would provide local information and then publish it on a regional basis in a very large series of books. In our library, we have thousands of them ourselves that we maintain, although they're not published any longer because the internet put that industry out of business. We would look to those types of private records to see whether or not the information that existed on a public record, like in a census, was mostly supported by information we would see in private records that were recorded as well. We then build a genealogical chart that would establish through those public and private records the family tree, and we would go about following each one of those family lines to establish who is alive today, and then predicated on what a state law would be as to who would inherit, and that could vary from state to state, we would provide a complete and comprehensive report as to who the existing family who is living today and what their lineage was from the past. So that, to give perhaps a clearer example, if we were looking for heirs to an estate where you had a let's say an 80-year-old woman who just passed away, whose husband had died previously, we would establish whether or not there were children of that marriage, and whether there were prior marriages of that woman, whether there were any children born of that woman in the past. If there were not, and we are satisfied through a preponderance of the public and private records that exist, that there were no children, we needed to establish then whether there were any siblings of the deceased who were still alive. That, if there were, that may legally end our search at the instruction of our client in that jurisdiction. On the other hand, if she had siblings and those siblings are deceased, we would then be looking to see whether any of those siblings had issue and where they are, and if they are alive, and if not, whether they had any issue. And so we would build a comprehensive family tree in that given example, present that to our client, who in turn would instruct us as to whether or not our job was complete in terms of who would take in that jurisdiction from an inheritance standpoint. That's one example, and there's a broad spectrum of examples you could give.
This sounds very arduous and time consuming. Is there a typical, it begins on this date and it ends 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, a year?
Seldom would it take a year. There have been the odd time that it has, and I think I'd have to go back in considerable time to recall. I think we had a situation where we had to document some 700 or 800 different heirs or people within that genealogy. When I use the term heirs, most of those folks were deceased. That particular case did take, I think, a little bit better than a year, but typically you're looking at 60 to 120 days, perhaps 150 days, depending upon the complexity. Another side to what we do may be what is called a direct search, is that there may be a named individual, a will that was written 30 years ago, and the person now passes, and the state attorney asks friends and or family, assuming a family existed, who this person is that the decedent named in the will, and an answer typically would be, we don't know. And it could be a family friend, it could be a professional associate from decades past. They'll have a name, and they may have a general location. And our job would be to locate the person and identify and establish the relationship between the decedent and that person. That's the extreme the other way, where we're not building a family tree. But we probably do 5 or 10% of our work is on direct searches, looking for one or two or several, sometimes, named individuals who are not family members.
So there's a there's a double caution here for the professional community. One is to make sure that no one dies intestate, and the second is to clearly identify every beneficiary in every document so we can put Tim out of business, right?
Well, in fact, that's well put. Having said that, another 10 or 20% of the work that we do is where there has been it's not an intestacy, and where all of the funds in the estate are distributed other than to family, perhaps to a charity, and where the jurisdiction where the person passed requires that notice to heirs be provided. And by that, that would suggest that the attorney handling the estate has a legal requirement to provide notice to family members. And sometimes those family members aren't available. Their whereabouts are not known. The person may have amassed a certain amount of wealth and decided to leave it all to a charity, and may have been estranged from family for decades. And we'll be called upon in those circumstances to also build a family tree through our genealogy techniques that would allow for the estate attorney to provide notice that there's a distribution to be made other than to what would typically be the heirs under an intestacy. And that's a significant portion of our business is for that purpose as well.
Sort of to let them know that they're being disinherited and it's intentional. And I believe most states have a period of time where they can claim back against the estate or make an argument that they should have received the money.
Well, there's always a possibility. To comment on that, I guess it would be state by state, and we're not involved in the distribution of any of the funds, nor are we generally privy to other terms of the will. But that's a point well taken.
Well, thanks, Tim. Let's just switch gears for a second here. I read recently the Justice Department was investigating your industry. I don't think you particularly. In fact, I know for a fact that you run your operation completely differently than what the Justice Department was investigating, which was this kind of anti-competitive price fixing scheme that was going on among some of the other search firms. Can you?
That's correct.
Can you get into that a little bit? I found that to be fairly interesting.
Well, it was very interesting, but not surprising that ultimately that the Department of Justice would look at that, because for decades I've understood generally that the majority of the folks who are in the air search business are in the business looking for windfall profits, and that's because frequently there are large estates that where they're in an intestate situation where there could be a distant relative who has no knowledge really of the deceased being a person who would have the wealth, nor would have been in a position to leave any meaningful amount of money to them. And what happens is that air search firms scour, if that's the correct term, court records to see where intestacies have been filed. And what they then do is they start a foot race amongst themselves to get to locate the missing heirs as quickly as they can and enter into contracts to provide them with percentages of the heirs' inheritance, which would range between 30 and 50% typically. And what happens is that they will approach the people who are likely to be the heirs, who they believe to be the heirs, and they would suggest to them that time is of the essence and that they sign a contract with them, and the air search firm, will protect their interests, engage an attorney on their behalf, and represent them to ensure that they receive their inheritance in due course. Well, the Department of Justice, as to my understanding, began looking at this two or three or several years ago because there was an anti-competitive aspect to what was going on, as I understand it, and that the air search firms in this foot race, where many different firms are often looking for the same heirs because there may be several hundred thousand dollars or more at stake in terms of windfall profits. They agreed, allegedly, not compete with one another when the heirs are being signed up. So instead of it being a competitive marketplace where one firm would say, I'll do it for 40%, the other says, I'll do it for 35%, the other says, no, I'll do it for 30%, and work it down to something that is in the heir's best interest, they colluded, according to the Department of Justice, and on that basis, two or more firms have recently pled guilty to those charges, and one has paid a significant fine, I think of some $800,000, and on the civil side, and to my knowledge, there's been no criminal conviction yet, although there has been guilty pleas entered, but there's no sentencing that has taken place yet. I suspect that other news will be forthcoming in that regard in 2016 and maybe into 2017, because my understanding is the Department of Justice is continuing its investigation with the cooperation of those who have pled guilty, which is, I guess, a normal procedure.
I'll ask my question. Go ahead.
I was just going to add one point to that, is even though it was anti-competitive with collusion in the fees, even a reasonable fee that was competitive would still have been, in most cases, multiples of what the fee could have been. And an example of that I will give is that our firm and others, but particularly ours, will charge by the hour. And where a search may take, as an example, to find a direct search might take 20 hours to complete with a fee of, in this example, of $3,000, assuming an hourly charge of $150 an hour. If you have an estate where the inheritance is $100,000, even a 10% fee of $100,000 is $10,000, but more typically it's 30 to 50%. So a percentage-based search firm would be looking for a $30,000 to a $50,000 windfall fee, whereas a search firm such as AirSearch.com would do that for, as an example, for $3,000.
So 10 or 15 times more.
Yeah, 10 or 15 times more. And so the Department of Justice was looking at the anti-competitiveness of the industry, but it wasn't looking at the fairness of the industry, which is the way that we look at it. We are a for-profit company, and we make a profit, a reasonable profit, but we're not looking for windfall.
Well, it's interesting that you make the differentiation between how you charge, which is an hourly fee, and how other firms are charging, many other firms are charging. I suppose it affects the smaller size searches much more than the larger size searches, because if you get down to $3,000 or 10% or 30% of $10,000, you end up in about the same place. But I can't imagine too many of those estates being able to afford to hire anybody.
Well, there's the smaller estates are generally ignored by the percentage-based air search firms for the obvious reason. But even a $20,000 or $30,000 estate usually can afford to have a reasonable amount of effort put forth where necessary. Obviously, you get to a point where if you have a $3,000 estate and a full-blown genealogical search that would be required, there's no way it could be cost justified. But they represent the minority, the distinct minority.
Is there a licensing requirement for air search firms?
Well, we do hold a license where required as a private investigator license in the state of Florida. Generally speaking, genealogy is not a requiring of a professional license. There are other licenses that if you hold an office or an employee in a given state, there are other civic licenses that you would require, but there's no professional license generally that's required.
Oh, thanks.
It's not to suggest that private investigators who do air search work wouldn't hold such a license, but it's not a requirement, in my view or in my opinion, to hold a license.
Well, thanks. That was a curiosity to me because I could go down to the courthouse tomorrow and start searching records and looking for people. Is what it sounds like. So this is not a firm that limit or an industry that limits access to people that have expertise. It just something most people don't even know exists, probably.
Well, it's in the background. This, in my experience, which is now some 50 years of this experience, that it wasn't new 50 years ago. This has been going on for centuries, in my view. Certainly, the last 100 or 150 years, there are percentage-based search firms that started back in the 1920s in America, and are generational in terms of the families who are involved in them. So it's not something that's new, but it's not generally understood the fee methodologies, and there's fortunes that had been made in the air search business because of those windfall profits.
Oh, that's a little disturbing. Let's move to something happier. And
all right.
Who have you helped? Give me a success story or two where it's really made a difference.
Well, there has been hundreds of thousands of heirs located by our firm over the decades, and one single case that comes to mind is a little hard to pluck one. We established a family member of, actually it was of one of our clients, an attorney, that it turned out that the search that we completed located an estranged a family member of the client himself, and after several months of searching, when we ultimately made the report, which our researcher reported to the client saying, I suppose we made your day-to-day giving you this information, which included a close family member that you'd been estranged for more than 20 years. He said, no, you didn't make my day, you made my life.
Wow.
So it one that in my mind for quite some time. But we hundreds and hundreds, hundreds, literally hundreds of stories that with privacy in mind, we can't.
Yeah, no, I'm not asking for names.
Happy ending in almost every case.
That's the part I'm looking for, the happy ending part. Tell me about how what you do would have an impact on a nonprofit or a charitable organization. Any stories there or any Great results.
Well, I thought about, I'm thinking about that as you pose that question, and I think the most obvious would be where, and I alluded to that earlier, where a person who decides that when they pass, that they want to leave all or a portion of their estate to a charitable organization. And they want to be sure that everything that they have worked so hard for to provide to the charity ends up with the charity and isn't challenged. And if there are, before the person passes away, it could be a good idea for those attorneys who are representing such a person to ensure what the state regulations and laws would be for notice, and to undertake a search in those circumstances where notice can be provided at the time and as part of the probate procedure, so that there is no uncertainty as to a later challenge by someone who decides that they hear about funds that have been delivered to a charity and they feel that they wish to contest that that will. And we have had a number of circumstances over the years where as soon as a person has passed, there's been a direction for us to undertake a search to ensure that notice is formally given.
Right. And again, I've seen and read a number of cases where unknown heirs have come forward and tried to challenge. And so it's always good for everyone to be as thorough as they can be, especially if there's a late in life charitable bequest or something that just needs extra attention.
I agree.
Tim, in wrapping up, any final words of wisdom for us in the planning community?
Well, there's always the internal efforts that can be undertaken without any need for a third party involvement. And when that fails, or when there's further efforts needed to ensure that all heirs are accounted for, there are firms such as airsearch.com who are available, who will provide such services at a reasonable cost and in a prompt and professional manner.
Well, Tim, thanks for your time today and for the interesting conversation.
Thank you, Randy. It was a pleasure.